And welcome back to Regionally Speaking.
Joining us now to share more about Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana, is President and CEO Kelly Ano and Erica Pfizer, the Charitable Organization's Vice President of Philanthropy. Kelly and Erica, thank you so much for joining us for this special Lakeshore Public Media Regionally Speaking in studio. We're just so excited to have you both with us today.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Thank you, Dee. Always good to be with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Kelly, I want to start with you because Legacy Foundation, again, is Lake County's community foundation, and I want to spend our time together today sharing with our listening and viewing audience more about all of the events, the programs, the initiatives, and the grants that your organization offers. But before we do this, as I shared with you offline, oftentimes a lot of people are not familiar with what a community foundation is. So I want you to spend a few minutes sharing what is a community foundation. And to whom do they serve?
So a community foundation is a nonprofit organization that focuses on quality of life within a designated place. And so for us, that's all of Lake County. We look at the residents of Lake County, the businesses, the people, how we can improve quality of life for everybody who lives, works, and plays in Lake County, Indiana. Every community, we try to touch every corner of our communities and municipalities within the county. And that's by giving out grants to organizations to be able to meet the needs of our residents. We give out scholarships to students to attend college, and hopefully after they go to college, they'll come back to Lake County and contribute their talents back into our communities here. We work with different leadership initiatives and with municipalities on identifying what are the key issues, what are the key needs, and how we can work together, collaborate, bring people together to address those.
Now, there is so much to discuss about Legacy Foundation, and I want to start with one of your initiatives, Lake County Forever. So share a little bit about how you're using this campaign to support Lake County and strengthen local nonprofit organizations.
Lake County Forever is our campaign to strategically support the needs of the county now and, just as it says in the campaign fund name, forever. Okay. Because we know that the needs of today won't be the needs that our residents are facing 20 years from now. And we want to be able to make sure that the leadership at Legacy Foundation has the same ability and an even greater ability to work alongside nonprofits and the community to meet those needs, just as Kelly mentioned that we're doing right now. And so we're building those resources through Lake County Forever to be able to support nonprofits and residents who really need assistance in our county.
And so I think the most important part of Lake County Forever is that any donations to the Lake County Forever campaign will qualify for a 2-to-1 match, which is an amazing opportunity, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Every dollar donated will turn into $3. Wow. And so this is, and it's through an opportunity through the Lilly Endowment to be able to grow the resources that we have here in Lake County for Lake County to be able to support Lake County Forever. And so an amazing opportunity for donors, people who care about Lake County, people who care about their communities, to be able to make sure that their dollars are, you know, going even further to help support the nonprofits that they care about.
I want to talk about the Lake County Advancement Committee, which was formed, in 1965. Share a little bit about what issues and or concerns are addressed under this arm of the charitable organization, and that's to either of you.
Yeah, so Lake County Advancement Committee, as you mentioned, it was formed over 50 years ago as a way to unify our Lake County communities around talking about issues that are important to all of our communities. So it's bringing expert speakers, leaders to an event, and that leader or speaker will talk about an issue, something that's important, whether it's we had Tom Collins Jr. Talking about Luke Family Brands.
Wow.
And we had Tom Dockage talking about Quantum Corridor and the future of quantum data and things that I can't even explain, and in the future of that in our communities. We had a panel of CEOs from our three hospital networks who all spoke together about healthcare challenges.
Oh, wow. That's
and
exciting.
Also advancements and opportunities in our communities. Yeah. So it's really things that are relevant to Lake County and what we're doing. And we invite anybody who wants to join us for lunch. And then, you know, we open after the speaker. It's open for discussion, for questions and answers. So really a great opportunity to bring people to learn more about how do we work together to advance Lake County.
And as Absolutely. Kelly mentioned, it was started over 50 years ago, but it really just came under Legacy's umbrella of programs last year. So we celebrated the one-year mark at the recent FutureCast event that we hosted at the Avalon. Yeah. And so I really feel like we've seen growth in audience, new members who have joined, and as Kelly mentioned, it's open to the public to attend these events. And I think we've really seen a reinvigoration of energy into the Lake County Advancement Committee programs. And we hope that people will continue to join and grow that audience who are looking to see people who are really working locally in Lake County to advance our economy across different sectors.
And I should also give Cal Bellamy an honorable mention here because I know he's on the Lakeshore Board of Directors.
Absolutely.
And he was one of the founding board members at Legacy Foundation and was a leader behind keeping Lake County Advancement Committee going for so many years. So he was kind of the driving force behind keeping it going, and he's still very closely involved in the steering committee for Lake County Advancement and helping to, you know, because when Cal makes a phone call, people answer. So, Absolutely. You know, he's been really helpful in helping line up the speakers and the topics. And so really appreciate his involvement in, you know, keeping that going, seeing the importance of it, and then Matt helping with the transition over to Legacy Foundation.
Now, Erica, you mentioned FutureCast. 2025 FutureCast. And I want to ask you about that because that was an event that you guys hosted just a few weeks ago. And it's an event in which the Kelly School of Business at IU forecast the economies for not only the nation, but globally, statewide, and locally as well. And you mentioned that it's an event in which it's a luncheon. And so people see it as a networking opportunity. And absolutely, it is a networking opportunity, but it's also an opportunity for Lake County community business leaders to hear from economic experts. So share, give us a little bit about what that event was like, because I feel like there should have been a camera in that room so that everybody in Lake County can hear what the experts had to share.
Well, I think the forecast is positive, especially for Northwest Indiana. Mm-hmm. The main takeaway that I took from the speakers is that really the work that Northwest Indiana has been doing over the years to attract residents, build housing, expand the number of industries that we have, is really starting to come to fruition now. And at my table, I mentioned the diversity of businesses that were there. We had two people that are in construction and development, a couple of attorneys. Michael Griffin was there from the town of Merrillville.
Right, wow.
And so just think about, even at the table that I was sitting at, the number of different businesses and community leaders that were represented, and I know that was reflected throughout the room.
Now, I want to spend some time sharing a bit about Legacy Learning Lab. Share a little bit about what opportunities are afforded for not only the staff of nonprofit organizations, but anybody in Lake County, because this sounds so exciting.
Yeah, so we've had the Legacy Learning Lab going for about 10 years now, and it's our initiative that really focuses on how can we work with nonprofit organizations to help give them the tools and resources that they need in order to strengthen their organization. We know that our grant funding alone is not going to address all of the needs in Lake County, right? But if we can give the organizations tools to, you know, strengthen their budgeting processes, strengthening their boards of directors, leadership capacity development, looking at how, you know, grant writing and fundraising. So all the things that can help them be more competitive for, you know, state funds, federal funds, deliver better quality and quantity of services, then those are all tools that will help the organizations be more successful and help Absolutely. Lake County be more successful. And so Learning Lab is our initiative that offers trainings to nonprofits, networking opportunities to organizations. And then just last year, this past year, we opened up that up to residents with some leadership development trainings as well, because we really wanted to look at, you know, we were seeing so many organizations come up that were block clubs that were doing amazing things in their community, you know, with really no budget. And they were just leading the way through passion and by leadership and respect from their community.
Yeah.
And so we were looking at, you know, all these people who are doing amazing things that maybe don't even have a formal nonprofit status, and how can they be part of that opportunity to get training?
When I think of a community foundation, and I'm sure many of our listening and viewers will immediately think about grants. And so we have to spend some time talking about grants, right? So the Legacy Foundation, again, offers so many grants, but a lot of people may not understand the process. So I want to spend a few minutes with having each of you share a little bit about walking us through step by step what grants are available through the Legacy Foundation and what are some of the guidelines for applying for grants.
So we do offer, sponsorship grants.
Okay.
So that's open on a rolling basis for nonprofits who are providing educational or opportunities for residents to come together around maybe a cultural event, something that's not just a fundraiser. So we want it to be something that's free and open to the community. And so nonprofits that are serving Lake County can apply for those. They're up to
2,000.
2,000. I almost said three, but I don't want to raise the minimum.
It's official announcement.
Up to 2,000 for a nonprofit to put on a sponsored event. And then we have our Transform Lake County grants, and that's open to any nonprofit that is serving a city or town in Lake County to apply. Our grant maximum for that is 35,000. And we see organizations of all sizes. Legacy Foundation prides itself really on serving grassroots organizations and serving those larger agencies that have lots of name recognition mm-hmm. and are really well-established organizations in the community. Mm-hmm. And so any organization that's serving a city or town in Lake County can apply. And as Kelly mentioned, we're really focused on quality of place here. So we don't have a specific cycle if you're serving education or healthcare or youth services. It's really any of those areas, as we identify priorities in the community, that's how we identify those grants that need to be made.
Absolutely. And I should note, full transparency to our listening and viewing audience, Lakeshore Public Media is the recipient of the philanthropic impact of Legacy Foundation. And I should also note that Lakeshore Public Media was awarded a $100,000 matching grant for our Building Blocks initiative to support our educational programming. And so Lakeshore Public Media, again, thanks Legacy Foundation for that support. The initiative has received rave reviews. Speaking of grants, a few weeks ago, the Legacy Foundation awarded $240,000 to organizations serving Lake County. Tell us more about a few of the grant recipients, as well as how the funds will go to, again, as you guys have both shared throughout our conversation, improve the quality of life for residents in Lake County.
Yeah, so this was through our unrestricted grant making fund. So what we talked about earlier, the funds that we're raising right now that qualify for the 2-to-1 match, we're able to use those unrestricted dollars that we raise to support organizations like these that apply for grants and you know, identify the needs in our community. And so with this most recent cycle, we awarded funding to organizations like Community Help Network, which provides buddy bags, which is after school and weekend feeding to children in South Lake County. The Crisis Center, which works with youth and teens who are at risk. Urban League, Tradewinds, Meals on Wheels, Opportunity Enterprises. And so a lot of great organizations, right, from feeding to youth to, you know, individuals, organizations that serve individuals with disabilities. We did grant to Fairhaven Rape Crisis Center this cycle. So really looking at, you know, we look at the needs and how we can best use our dollars and our funding to leverage that and really work on a root cause solution to some of the problems that we see in our communities.
Absolutely.
And I should add that it's not just Kelly or our staff that are reviewing these grants and identifying priorities and that they're stable organizations. We have a volunteer grants committee, really committed members throughout the community who come together, review 70 plus applications that we get in every cycle, take the time, review all of the budgets and the program narratives, and really just because they want to and they care about the future of this community and they care about supporting organizations that are doing good things. And they have a really robust discussion. Mm-hmm. And so we really thank the volunteer grants committee members who give their time to review all of these and help us prioritize these needs.
And our board of directors as well. So then after the committee, the grants go to our board of directors for review and approval. And we get over $1 million in grant requests each grant cycle, not just each year, but each grant cycle. And we're able to fund roughly a little bit less than 20% usually of the need and of the requests that we get. And so there is a huge gap between what's being requested and what we're able to support. And there's a lot of, really compelling applications and a lot of need out there. Yeah. So, it makes for some difficult decisions at the committee level and having to, turn down some really qualified applications and organizations just because we just don't have enough funding to, go into what's needed.
Yeah, as you were sharing that in my mind, I'm saying to myself, I'm not sure if I could be, because I lead with my heart, if I could be the one making those decisions, I would probably take the $10 and spread it over all 7 applications.
We have to tell the member committee that we can't do that sometimes, right?
Yeah. So I want to talk about Legacy Foundation's new initiatives, and that's the partnership with the national model, the Community Heart and Soul. Legacy Foundation will select one community to receive training, technical assistance, and supporting funding to implement the Community Heart and Soul process. And this is over a 2 to 5 year period. Tell us more about this and share with our listening and viewing audience where you are in this process.
Yeah, so this really started from, Legacy Foundation ran an initiative, that ended about 5 years ago. We started it about 10 years ago. Called Neighborhood Spotlight. And with Neighborhood Spotlight, we selected communities and spent about 5 years with each of those communities on engaging residents, building resident leadership, working with the community to develop a, neighborhood specific plan on, by getting feedback from what residents on what do they want to see happen in their neighborhood and what are their priorities and goals and action steps. And so then we worked with them on that plan over a period of years to implement some of the things that they had identified. And so after doing that for a couple years, and then we moved on to, and we did some on the table conversations from there. And then of course, COVID happened, which put us all in a different place on how do we engage with people, right? And had us all reevaluating that. And so now through the Heart and Soul model, it's very similar to Neighborhood Spotlight, except the difference is it gives us a national model and national best practices, a proven, approach to being able to work with these communities. Right. We have other cities throughout the country that we can work with and learn from. And so we're really part of a community of practice now in, working through this model. And so we will be selecting one neighborhood in year one to work with. so we'll be announcing that soon. And then next year we'll select a second community to work with on Heart and Soul.
Absolutely.
And so we hope to build upon that and reach all communities in Lake County.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Neighborhood Spotlight initiative that Kelly talked about, I mean, we still hear such positive feedback about from the neighborhoods that went through that. Faith Farms, which is a organization and farm in Gary that really got started during that neighborhood spotlight program in the Emerson neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
And so when we talk with Frida or Pastor Whitaker about the work that they're doing, we all kind of sit back and say, oh my God, could you have thought that it would have grown to what it is now 10 years ago when we were first starting these conversations about, you know, growing urban farming and in a
when it was just a vision,
absolutely. As we begin to wrap up our time together today, you have shared a lot about Legacy Foundation, right? And I can't help but think, as you guys are sharing all of the information, obviously the work cannot be done without obviously you, the president and CEO, you, Erica, the vice president of philanthropy, obviously your staff. But I'm also thinking about your board. Because the work cannot be done without the support of the board. So I want you to take a minute to toot the horn of your board and share who some of the board members are.
Absolutely. Happy to do that. And so we have an amazing board of directors at Legacy Foundation, you know, that consists of a diverse set of skills, talents, leaders from Lake County. Currently, our chair is John Frayak with Horizon Bank. He's market president there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think everybody
awesome.
Knows John, right?
John's so, awesome.
And then we have Sean Egan from Calumet College as our vice chair. Matt Doyle, who's the CEO at Methodist Hospital, is our treasurer.
Wow.
Sherry Ziller, the president of the RDA, is our secretary. Our immediate past chair, Carrie Ukage, Truwell Financial Advising Firm. So we have Chelsea Whittington with CWIT PR, who is great, you know, marketing.
Absolutely.
Greg Gordon. So we have an amazing board of,
I'm just naming and then I'll accidentally
leave one person off. So I'll stop now while I'm ahead.
No, but it's awesome to hear you name some of the board members, not all, but some of the board members, because it's awesome to hear the diverse background of each of them, from the financial institution to healthcare to all of those different organizations. And so it's so awesome to hear all of those different sets coming to the table to obviously advance the mission of the Legacy Foundation. So I wanted to be sure that we tooted the horn because, again, Lake County the Legacy Foundation does so much for the entire Lake County. Before I let you go, again, as I've said, you two have shared just a small fraction of the events, the activities, the initiatives, and the programs offered through the Legacy Foundation. If anybody would like more information, including how to apply for a grant, how to come to an event, or participate in a program, where can they find that information?
They can visit our website at legacyfdn.org. They can give us a call at our office, 219-736-1880. We have a very friendly staff. We take calls all the time, and people might be looking for ways to get involved or ways to give back to their community but don't really know where to start.
Right.
They can call our office, and we try to help them find what they're looking for. And so we do have an upcoming, we have a holiday open house that you'll find on there for professional advisors, like attorneys, CPAs. We have an upcoming continuing education seminar that they can find on our website. Our scholarship application is open right now for high school seniors and current college students. They'll find that on our Apply for Scholarships page. And
awesome.
So there's a wealth of resources.
Awesome. And my ears perked up a bit when you mentioned the scholarship opportunities, because you think of scholarship opportunities for students who will be graduating high school, seniors right now, but to hear that there are opportunities for those that are in college as well. Another win-win for Lake County, and so it's so exciting. Again, I know I sound like I am like an ambassador of sorts for Legacy Foundation, but I had to have you guys in here again because I see you guys out in the community at many events. I know the work that you're doing, and we wanted to be sure to highlight your organization and share with the rest of our viewing and listening audience everything about Legacy Foundation. So we thank you for joining us today in studio, and we cannot wait to have you back with us again to tell us about who that community will be.
Well, I can't think of a better ambassador for Legacy Foundation. So thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you, Dee. We really appreciate your time.
Legacy Foundation is Lake County's community foundation. For over 30 years, we've partnered with donors and nonprofits, focusing on youth development, the arts, the environment, health, literacy, and other causes that matter to you. We're committed to Lake County forever. First things first, Porter County is dedicated to supporting families, healthy beginnings, and quality early learning. ensuring every Porter County baby is born prepared for a strong start in life. Learn more at firstthingspc.org.
I have a very strong connection to other students. Everyone makes an effort to help each other. I'll remember the feeling of being here, the feeling that I was a part of a family.
Learn more at pnw.edu.
Additional support for Building Blocks is provided generously by Tom Sorlis and Sue Eleuterio, as well as Porter County Community Foundation, serving Porter County since 1996.
Build up childhood development in Northwest Indiana by supporting Building Blocks. Your donation to Lakeshore Public Media's Early Childhood Initiative will be matched dollar for dollar up to $100,000. Visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks.
Building Blocks, the podcast, a co-production of Lakeshore Public Media and First Things First Porter County, is dedicated to exploring the science of early childhood development and addressing the challenges that Northwest Indiana encounters. Dr. Mary Jane Eisenhower, Executive Director of First Things First Porter County, explores the vast world of early childhood development as she welcomes local experts, parents, and practitioners to discuss the building blocks for brain and language development. Here's Mary Jane Eisenhower with more.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Eisenhower, and I'm here today with Heather Hahn Sullivan, Executive Director of the Dunes Learning Center. Welcome to Building Blocks. Heather, hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Mary Jane?
Just wonderful. Thanks for being here with us. I want to talk to you today about your work with the Dunes Learning Center, and I was reminded of a quote by John Muir, which I understand is the father of the National Park System. And he said, of all the paths you take in life, make sure that a few of them are in dirt.
I love that.
Tell us about your work and how you work in the dirt.
Sure. So Dunes Learning Center, we're the education partner of Indiana Dunes National Park. So we're an independent nonprofit, but located inside the national park. And a lot of our work takes place inside the national park. We're always trying to get kids and adults into the park. We also do a lot of outreach work in local communities, schools, and other public park or other public lands. And so we always want kids and adults to appreciate those natural spaces and get to know them and feel a sense of place and ownership for those natural spaces.
We are so fortunate to live in an area that has access to those resources. Tell us kind of the space that is the national park in Northwest Indiana.
Sure. So Indiana Dunes, the national park, is what they say is one of the first urban national parks. So when the national parks system was created, it was for these big western parks like Yellowstone and Yosemite, and having a park close to a city like Chicago, a park that's accessible by train, this was completely novel. So there were actually efforts to make it a national park before World War I. And so it was supposed to be called Sand Dunes National Park. Unfortunately, with the war, that didn't happen. And so it didn't become a national park until 1966, when it was created as Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore. So I don't know if you know, but in the national park system, there's a lot of different little terms for the parks. So there's national parks, which is kind of the elite crowd. We became a national park in 2019. Mm-hmm. But then there are national lakeshores and national monuments and national battlefields. And so actually there's about 435 units in the national park system. And Indiana Dunes now, especially since the name change, we're in the top 10 visitation-wise. And we're in the top 5 for biodiversity. So that means that of all the parks in our entire country, we have one of the highest numbers of plants, animals, and just all different kinds of life and wonderful things to discover.
again, we are so fortunate to live in this area. And I know that that you and your team really promote the importance of children having those early experiences with nature. So right in our own backyard, we have opportunities. Tell us about how you do that with your team.
Sure. So our focus is on school programs for the most part. So we consider ourselves to be an outdoor school. That's the term that a lot of environmental learning centers like us have taken on. We're focused on school standards. And so from September through May, we are teaching school children. And so kindergarten through 12th grade, our sweet spot is usually in the 4th through 6th grade. But over the last few years, we've really come to appreciate that the earlier kids are introduced to something, the more it sticks, the more and the more excited they get about it. And so introducing nature, getting kids outdoors, you know, as preschoolers can really help in their comfort in nature and their desire to learn more. We always talk about how we're creating the stewards of tomorrow. And in order for someone to want to protect something like our national park, they need to experience it first. They need to enjoy it. They need to learn about it before they want to protect it. And so it really is a sequence that takes some time. And the earlier they start, and so if kids are getting outside to appreciate nature as toddlers, that just helps that continuum, helps that process move along more quickly. It gets kids excited about learning about nature and gets them further along that path of wanting to protect these public spaces that so many of us hold dear.
So you must have had some experiences in your early childhood that brings you to this point right now. How did you land in this role that you have at the Dunes Learning Center?
Sure. So I grew up going to national parks. My family, we did a lot of camping and went to so many different places. And that was something that I really loved. I actually attended Dunes Learning Center as a high school student. So the very first year that it opened in 1998. I attended in spring of 99 as a high school junior. And so my environmental science class came. We did a river study. I got to sleep in the cabins, and I forgot about that experience. I didn't really remember it until I came back after I graduated from college as an intern. So I was an intern for 2 summers, and so I really consider Dunes Learning Center to be the place where I got my start in environmental education. And so after that, I stuck with environmental nonprofits, moved around different cities, worked at different nature centers and natural history museums, but then came back home to Northwest Indiana and back to Dunes Learning Center.
That's fair. Lucky us that you're here. You mentioned environmental education, and that may be a new concept for so many. What do you mean when you say environmental education?
So environmental education, it's helping people to learn about their environment and develop skills and expertise to address challenges, and it inspires them to take action. And so learning about your environment and then taking action to protect it, that's kind of all tied in together in what environmental education is. So there's so many different things that we teach in our programs. And we do it in a way that kids enjoy. Social emotional learning is something that we tie into all of our programs. It can't just be facts all the time. It has to be done in a way that kids are excited about. And so most of our lessons are taught outside. We talk about nature's classroom, and we have the whole national park to work with. So there are a couple of particular spaces around our campus and in the national park where we know where to stop. This is a great place to look for salamanders, or if you're interested in some of the edible plants, here's another good spot. And so, all of these places are things that we can tie together in our experiences and what we're doing to make sure that a lesson that we're teaching first of all, meets the state standards, meets the teacher's goals, but helps a kid to really connect with the place and connect it to their own lives. If they don't connect it to their own lives, then what's the point?
And that's learning.
That's learning.
That's exactly how we learn. Can you think of an example of where you really saw a child, the light bulb go on, where they really made connections with the environment and what they were learning in their personal life?
Sure. Well, so many kids today, a lot of kids in our region haven't been to Lake Michigan. And so we do the Coles Bog hike, where you start in the wetland, you hike through the eastern deciduous forest and the oak savanna, you get to the top of the dune and you have that first view of Lake Michigan. And so many times kids say, "Oh my gosh, did you hike us all the way to the ocean?" And that experience, it's funny, that's kind of our joke amongst the staff, because all of us have had that experience with kids. And some of them are local kids, some of them are from Gary, East Chicago, even Chesterton, where we're located, and kids just don't have those outdoor experiences. So the statistic that is often cited, kids spend less than 7 minutes a day outdoors in unstructured play.
That makes my heart stop, actually.
So, they might be outside, they might be doing soccer practice, they might be waiting for the bus, but outdoors in unstructured play. And kind of the flip side of that is that they're spending close to 7 hours a day on a screen. And so we've all seen it, that kids are, childhood has moved indoors. And so, kids are focused on devices, they're focused on TV, computers, their tablets, schools are moving so many lessons that way. But we know that kids learn best with hands-on things, when they're able to get their hands in the dirt, when they're talking about, using an anemometer to judge the wind speed themselves, when they're going through some of these ecosystem studies, they have such a different experience. And so trading screen time for green time, that's one of our little catchphrases. But it's a great way to really help kids experience nature, because so many of them have never gone outside to catch fireflies. They've never splashed around in a creek. They just don't do that so much anymore. So getting kids to experience something like that is one of our biggest goals. Just playing outdoors. One of the quotes that we cite is that, one of the best way to protect the environment is just to get a kid outdoors. Get them outdoors, let them experience it and enjoy it and have fun.
And we know, right, learning can happen anywhere. And so you talk about the environmental education, your outdoor school, and in early education, we also focus on the learning that happens in everyday moments, that learning that happens in the grocery store, driving in the car, but also taking a walk and being outside with your loved ones. How do you know when a visitor, a child, or somebody who's come to the national parks and is in your programming or just that you see out on the trails, how do you know when they're learning something?
It's all the time. I would say, you see a kid's eyes light up when you roll over a log and find a salamander or a pill bug. And even just seeing something that they've never seen before. And so many times, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to identify it. And this is something that we try to tell parents or teachers, the experience is enough. It doesn't have to be, or we're going to identify this insect and we're going to determine what order it is. And that's okay. Just knowing, like, this is a place to find biodiversity and looking and saying, oh, we've got six different kinds of bugs here. That's great. Mm-hmm. Versus, we only have one kind. And so just having more biodiversity, we know that that's good. And so learning something like that of, like, we love to see when there are so many different kinds of things. Another thing we do is just, listening to the birds in the trees. How many different bird calls can you hear? You don't have to identify them. You don't have to find them. I'm terrible at identifying bird song. But, you know, just count the different, count the number. And that's something then, you know, that there's so many different kinds, and that's usually indicative of a healthy environment.
That's, I get goosebumps when I think about that. We just know how important that exposure is. You know, the benefits to being outside are just countless. You can't quantify them. They're just so important. The environment that a child is exposed to in their first 1,000 days, and that's really the focus of building blocks, the environment really is one of those critical building blocks. And that has a lasting impact on their health, their learning, their behavior. Mm-hmm. The Dunes Learning Center recently received a collaboration challenge grant from First Things First Porter County. What compelled you and your team to apply for that grant?
Sure. So, as I said earlier, we have lots of programs for elementary, middle school, and high school. And that continuum and being able to move folks from one program to the next is so important. And we wanted to start even earlier. We've started a family nature club, which is a great way for parents and kids to get outside together. And so this grant is to support our work with the Duneland Family YMCA and the Trojan Early Learning Center. So we'll be working with preschoolers to get them outdoors and help them to just enjoy. I mean, at that age, it's just exposure. And we know from experience that not every teacher is comfortable taking kids outdoors. Mm-hmm. And so just helping teachers and preschool teachers and parents to feel comfortable and knowing, again, you know, you don't have to know the name of the bug or the name of the bird. It's just observation, comfort, and, you know, helping kids to really appreciate what is around them.
So what might some of those activities for the littlest ones, what might that look like?
Sure. So we do a lot of, you know, counting numbers, those sorts of things. And so, you know, I was going to bring some leaves and I forgot. But, you know, we do a lot of kind of scavenger hunt things. So right now is a great time to do leaves. But can you find a yellow leaf? Can you find a red leaf? Can you find a crunchy leaf? Can you find a leaf that's bigger than your hand? Can you find a leaf that's teeny tiny? So, you know, being able to do contrasts, doing colors, and then you can use those to make a crayon rubbing or something like that. So it's just little activities, but those are things that kids remember, and they're easy to do wherever you are. So you don't always have to go to a national park to appreciate nature. Mm-hmm. I think that's another really important lesson, is that, you know, nature is everywhere. And so it can be your yard, it can be the park down the street, it can be any kind of natural area, or just, you know, the tree on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, and that's okay. And so even just noticing it and appreciating it is enough. And that's something that helps to move kids along the path towards, you know, wanting to preserve and protect public lands.
You mentioned earlier that you really have integrated this idea of social and emotional learning and social emotional development into the work that you do. Tell us about that and the benefits of bringing that into the work.
Sure. So we've found that, you know, really focusing on how kids learn makes such a difference. When kids get outdoors, it's so different for so many of them. In a classroom, kids can be, you know, they have to sit. They have to sit and hold still and not bang their feet and not, you know, move around too much because they're distracting other kids. But when you're outside, that's okay. You can do more of that. And having instructors who are attuned to some of those things and thinking about how do we work together? How do we collaborate? How do we use our creativity and looking at ways to, you know, to bring a group together to talk about something or to learn something or to work together to accomplish a goal. You know, those are all those skills that kids need and are so important today and will be in the future. So besides just learning about the environment or learning to identify, oh, this is an oak tree or something, this is the importance of this species to this ecosystem. But learning to work together with their classmates to accomplish a goal, that's even more important.
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded, in early education and early childhood development, we talk about relationships and just how important that is. Thinking about the relationships that you had in your maybe first 1,000 days, you probably didn't know that they were happening. Can you point to a relationship, an individual that was just crazy madly in love with you that really kind of shaped who you are today?
I would say my mom. My mom was a first grade teacher before she had me and my sisters. She made such a difference, and we had so many activities that we did, so many things that we did as a family. And that was something that just has left such an impression and really impacts, really influences how I am as a mother.
Of course. Yeah. And so that idea of, having that relationship with an individual, and just, they say it takes just one person madly crazy in love with you. And I feel like that's some of the work that you're trying to promote for our youngest, to just have them fall in love with nature.
Yes.
And what is your dream? What is your hope for then these children who are now 2 and 3 years old out in the parks or out on in their backyards, in their home environment, their neighborhoods? What is your dream for them as they grow up?
So we hope that kids really feel a sense of place, that they know that Indiana Dunes National Park is their park. It's not some abstract concept. It's something that belongs to them. It belongs to everyone. But helping kids to feel a real sense of place makes such a difference in their lives. I had a conversation at a meeting last night, and we were talking about our favorite places to hike. And so many people were like, oh, I loved Yosemite, and I went on this hike in Greece. But more than half of the people in the room also said, I love Miller Woods. I love hiking Coles Bog. I love hiking the dunes. And having being tied in to the place where you live and really loving and appreciating that. And that's something that really sticks with you. And so, growing up in this area, leaving and coming back, it makes me appreciate it so much more. And so I hope that kids will remember their experiences, remember what it's like to run down a sand dune, to splash in Lake Michigan. And when their friends in college are like, oh, you don't know what the beach is like. And they're like, let me tell you, Lake Michigan, it's like an ocean. It's big enough.
We've had kids come from all over the country to visit with our children, and they're amazed. The vastness of Lake Michigan and just what we have to offer. I think we're a hidden gem here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. But having that connection and having kids to really know that sense of place and to feel that connection sticks with them through their whole lives.
So as you are developing this love of nature and this protection of our environment and this quality of place, what are some ways that families with young children this weekend, next weekend, we're heading into the colder months and sometimes the want is to just kind of hibernate ourselves. But what are some ideas that you have for getting young children and their families out into the parks in the coming months?
So my first thought is it doesn't have to be a big deal. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to plan for a big hike and you don't have to have a backpack or gear or anything special. It can just be a 10-minute drive by, and that's okay. That's enough. Any repeated exposure is the most important thing. And so, if you have just a little bit of extra time, just stop by a park on your way home. Maybe instead of going to the playground, go towards the side with the trees, walk in the trees, feel the bark. I mean, in the wintertime, there, you know, no leaves, but feel the different kinds of bark. It's just different textures. It's something, you know, maybe it's cold outside, but you can feel for a minute and then that's enough. And, you know, going to the beach, I mean, the lines are a lot shorter to get in the park right now. So it's still interesting to see what the waves are doing. And you can still run down the sand dunes. So I think it's, you know, just doing it occasionally and trying to my kids, you know, if I say we're going to go for a hike, and then I get, oh, I don't want to go hiking. But then once we get there and we're out of the car and we're moving around, and then they're skipping down the trail and having a wonderful time. And just doing something, you know, we're going to do a quick hike before dinner. No problem. It's something that it doesn't have to be a big deal. And so just repeated exposures and different places. So, you know, maybe you go to the national park, maybe you go to the state park, maybe you go to the, you know, the neighborhood park at the end of the block, or your kid's schoolyard is all great places to go and just look around and notice what you can see, what's changed from the last time you were there. How has the seasons changed things? Do you see a squirrel nest up in the trees? That's when there's like a big bunch of leaves all stuck together, when you can actually see it when the leaves are down. So, you know, can you find those? What else can you see?
Such a great opportunity for talking and Absolutely. Learning new words and new ideas in the parks. I think that is just the best place to start. Our parks are free. Parking is free. Is that true?
So the national park is not free. So Indiana Dunes National Park recently instituted an admission fee. So you can buy a week-long pass or $20, I think, $20 or $25. But a full year pass is only $45. So then you can park anywhere, Shelburg Farm, West Beach, any of the other beaches, Kemmel Beach, Central. So there's a lot of places you can go, and those dollars support, of course, national park programs and services.
I can't think of a better gift for the holidays.
It's a great idea. Yeah. And so national park pass or state park passes, those are both. I always give my dad a state park pass. So.
And so people wanting to know more about how to get involved with the Dunes Learning Center, with the national parks, where would they look for that information?
Sure. So our website is duneslearningcenter.org. I would say for families, especially with young kids, joining our family nature club. It's called Nat's Nature Club. Nat is our mascot, Nat the Nature Nut. So Nat is a giant acorn, usually makes an appearance at family nature club events. Most kids, it's a very happy acorn, so not a scary mascot.
Good. Tell me a little bit more about Nat's Nature Club and how one might get involved with that.
Sure. So once you sign up, then we do monthly emails, and every email has some ideas for activities to do. So it might be, you know, going out. I mean, it rained last night, and so going out and looking for tracks in the mud, or giving you some tips on a little craft project to do. So all kinds of seasonal activities. And then we also host events run by our educators. So we've got a winter extravaganza coming up in December. And so we'll do some hikes and activities, have a campfire, and of course, hot chocolate. So, you know, those are we know how to keep the troops happy.
I love it. And just a nice, easy way for families to learn more about the work.
Absolutely.
And to promote the outdoor school, as it were.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to tell us about the Dunes Learning Center this?
Sure. So summer camp registration just opened. So hard to believe. I mean, we're going into winter and we're already looking ahead to summer. But we've got overnight camp registration. That's for a little older kids. That starts at age 9. But our day camps, we go down to age 5 for day camps. So we have lots of day camp opportunities. So that'll open in January. But there's all kinds of ways to get involved and attend a community event, family program, something like that, for everyone.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Heather, for your time. And we really look forward to getting out onto the trails and into the park.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Building Blocks, the podcast, is a co-production of Lakeshore Public Media and First Things First Porter County. For more information on Building Blocks, including this podcast, as well as the television show, visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks.
Legacy Foundation is Lake County's community foundation. For over 30 years, we've partnered with donors and nonprofits, focusing on youth development, the arts, the environment, health, literacy, and other causes that matter to you. We're committed to Lake County forever. First Things First, Porter County is dedicated to supporting families, healthy beginnings, and quality early learning, ensuring every Porter County baby is born prepared for a strong start in life. Learn more at firstthingspc.org.
I have a very strong connection to other students. Everyone makes an effort to help each other. I'll remember the feeling of being here, the feeling that I was a part of a family.
Learn more at pnw.edu.
Additional support for Building Blocks is provided generously by Tom Sorlis and Sue Eleuterio, as well as Porter County Community Foundation, serving Porter County since 1996.
Build up childhood development in Northwest Indiana by supporting Building Blocks. Your donation to Lakeshore Public Media's Early Childhood Initiative will be matched dollar for dollar up to $100,000. Visit lakeshorepublicmedia.org/buildingblocks.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for this week. Thanks to our guests from the Legacy Foundation, President and CEO Kelly Ano, and Erica Pfizer, Vice President of Philanthropy. We'd also like to thank Dr. Mary Jane Eisenhower of First Things First Porter County, as well as the host of the Lakeshore Public Media Building Blocks podcast. And we'll be back with you next week with an all-new show.